Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. And if you've read the information on the index page, you know that we have an exceptionally wonderful guest here, Suzanne Ward. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi there, Carolyn. How are you? You sound good.
Oh, thank you. Well, and you do too. You know, that's part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, I've known Suzanne, couple years. And what drew me to her website was the fact that her circumstances were similar to my circumstances. We both had sons who transitioned and who worked with us and continue to work with us. And when I saw his picture, maybe it was just the fact that he was a young teenager then, but he reminded me so much of my son, Sean. And so from that moment, you can imagine I've had a great affinity for Suzanne and her work. And Suzanne, we have so much to talk about because what we decided to discuss was what our sons who are on the other side are telling us by way of what's on the future for Earth and what is on the horizon. And I know you are just delighted to talk about that. But before we begin, I would like to touch a little bit on the passing of your son and my son, not to dwell so much in anything that is sad, but rather to give mothers and fathers and other family members who have lost someone in their family who, you know, they've transitioned. I think of all of the mothers, their sons have died in Iraq or automobile accidents, and you going through it and I going through it, we know what a grief that is for a mom to have a child cross over. So from that perspective, Suzanne, I kind of would like for you to talk about that and how you finally got to be reconnected with your son.
Carolyn, I'll be happy to do that. You know, as you were speaking, something popped into my mind. I don't know whether Matthew nudged it in there, but either way, and since you and I hadn't discussed this, you know, it's not as if I had something prepared. What I want to mention is that on the second anniversary of Matthew's death, I was going through such a traumatic time. It was like the fresh grief, the fresh shock all over again. Well, for one thing, I didn't know at that time that there is actually something called the anniversary syndrome that it's very understandable once you hear about it, that dates have such profound meanings for us, either very joyously or very sorrowfully. Well, at any rate, I was having this really bad, bad time. Just a few days after that, the dear woman who only about 6 months before I had been led to her, a psychic medium, and now and then she would give me snippets of information about Matthew, and so she was my link with him. But at any rate, a few days after the second anniversary had passed, Margaret called, and she said, "Matthew has asked me to tell you to please stop thinking of April 17th as the anniversary of his death and start thinking of it as the anniversary of his birthday into his heavenly life." And I thought, oh, I mean, I was startled that it, that, you know, that concept had never come to me. Well, I'm not very creative in the first place, but at any rate, and then she went on to say that what he would like is for me to celebrate both of his birthdays, his Earth birthday as my son on September 11th, and his heavenly birthday on April 17th each year. And because he so loved flowers, if I would shop for flowers on those days, I could be certain that he was with me. Oh. He would make it so obvious from my sensations that I would even know which plant he was nudging me to choose. A number of parents whose children have crossed over have written to me seeking some concrete ideas. They have mentioned how helpful the book Matthew Tell Me About Heaven has been for them, but they asked if I had any secrets to helping me recover to that point. And when I have passed on that suggestion, not quite as verbose when in writing as when I'm speaking, but I have heard from them afterwards how helpful it was to have that new perspective on their children's lives, not their deaths. One woman even wrote that, because I would always mention, it doesn't have to be flowers. You know, think what your child enjoyed doing. You know, whether it was sports or reading or, you know, whatever it was that brought your son or daughter the most enjoyment, do something around that so that the happy memories are with you. And one woman wrote, she had written, as the anniversary was approaching, which was wonderful because I was able to make that suggestion to her. And afterwards she wrote that she and her family had a party at the beach. They had a cookout and flowers and played games. And she said that their spirits were so high. They really felt that the daughter and sister was with them in spirit. And their hearts were so light. So thank you for Carolyn for giving me the opportunity to pass that on.
Well, I do think that it is beautiful. And I'm trying to offer hope to, like I said, those who miss their loved ones, because you never get over the miss.
That is true.
When my son Sean crossed over, I had this great desire to know that he was okay. I had always felt like I was close to the church, and you know, we were taught that they lived on and so forth, but he was only 16. And because of his youth, I thought, well, I've just got to know that he arrived wherever he was going and that he would be happy and content. And so I had the first year I was doing a search. I just had to find some way to connect with him. And so many things happened in my life that I knew he was there. I had dreams of him. Things happened in my life in such a way that I knew he was behind finding things for me, moving things as I would come across them. And after time passed, I had a friend in the house who I didn't know it at the time. She was a medium. She was just a friend, and we were having dinner. And there were, we heard this sound in the closet. And I ran to the closet because it was very unusual. And I said, oh, it's okay. Something just fell off the shelf. So I put it on the shelf. We started talking. Well, the same thing fell off the shelf again. And I thought, that is strange. I put it back far enough. It should not have slid off the shelf. And when I went back to her, she says, your son is here. And she explained how he had come with a group. And he had a message for me, which she gave me. And she says, give me your hand. And she took my hand and placed it on his cheek. And I could feel all of this energy that was coming from him through her arm into me. And with that, tears started coming out of her cheeks, just running down her face. It wasn't like she was crying, but just the tears kept flowing over her face. And it was so profound for me. I knew this was he because she said, when people go to the other side, they usually have a scent that they will give you so that you know that it is them. And his scent was the smell of fresh rain in a forest. And I said, well, how appropriate, because we used to go camping all the time. And so it was this great journey, very similar to your journey, receiving information, working with them, and he has been my guide. Our work is very similar, but in some ways there's some differences. The first couple years, he took me to different sacred sites, and we worked with the energies at these different sites. And the first time he took me, I was a little confused because I didn't quite know what he wanted to do. So he gave me this vision of a toy he had as a child. Do you remember those little ducks on a string you would pull and the little wings spun around?
Oh, I do.
Matt, you have that.
Well, yeah, I have four children, and so I think I went through several of those pull toys.
Well, this is what he showed me. He showed him pulling the little ducky, and I was supposed to follow it. So they have such a fun relationship, and one of the things that happens, I do believe, when they go to the other side, their personality really doesn't change. Have you noticed that?
Well, Carolyn, I think that the personality of the child we knew, because Matthew was 17 when he crossed over. So, you know, he and Sean were peers. At times when he talks, and we chat every day, even though I'm not at the computer to record all those things, but we chat every day. And there are times when he sounds just like my teenager, you know, when we're laughing or he's chiding me about something. But at other times, for instance, in his messages and the books, the material that's in the books where he was the source of it, once they are back in spirit life, they are aware of all the knowledge of the multiple lifetimes of their souls, and so they are so much more knowledgeable than we can imagine any teenager being. So they don't go up there and just stay at that level of understanding, but even as they are, they have access to really all of the universal mind, they still remain the independent soul as they are an inseparable part of the whole. It's a concept, it's a universal truth. But for me to really be able to understand that is very difficult. Matthew has assured me that once I'm back in spirit, I will have the total understanding of this. In the meantime, I understand the words, so in my head, I get it. But at gut level, or maybe, I think maybe even more accurately, it's at heart level, I don't comprehend. So I accept on trust. And the trust is really borne out in how Matthew presents information that goes out in his messages, and how he is when we chat. He is definitely my son. And furthermore, the things that he tells me about his sister and brothers. And later on, I say, how are you doing with such and such? And when they tell me, it bears out what Matthew has said. So our children always remain with us in our love bonds. That's the energy that keeps us bonded really eternally. But they continue growing at a far, far greater pace than we can in this 3D world.
Couple things I wanted to chat with you. One, if you care to elaborate on this, when you chat with Matthew, how do you go about that?
Well, there's no regimen. It can be as simple as I'm thinking about something. Well, just let me give you an example of a couple of hours ago. I was pouring a cup of coffee, and he just popped in and said, "Mother, don't forget the vitamins and gold." And I said, "Oh, thank you." And so I'm a night person. And since I, worked until about 4, I didn't get up until about 11 my time. And when I get up, it takes me a little while to have my thoughts organized and function very efficiently. And since pouring coffee is one of the first things I do, I'm one of those who feels, with some caffeine, my thought processes are going to be clearer. So, and of course, if that's what I think, that's what I create. But at any rate, it can be something as simple as that, where he simply pops in. Or it can be something where I'm really puzzled about which way I should decide to go on something. Our beloved people in spirit are not allowed to interfere in our lives. They can give helpful suggestions, and we receive that in sensations about something coming more clearly to us about which way to go. If we are pondering and thinking of them, they honor our privacy, but when we are having feelings about them, when we are thinking about them, they are automatically and instantaneously connected with us. And so if we are, say, thinking, well, if he or she were here and I could talk this over, what would be their guidance or their ideas? Because parents can indeed learn from their children, I think. And so the way that we can feel their presence is by things becoming a little clearer, as if the veil is sort of lifting, and the situation, what would be the better choice for us, becomes clear. And it's not just our children, it's our spirit guides. Or you can just say God, because really, in a sense, all the souls are emissaries of God. I mean, so are we for each other. I think I went a little far afield, Carolyn.
No, that's fine. I wanted to mention something because I thought this was rather fascinating, Suzanne. I was taking a class, and they were talking about hearing, and that we do not really hear with our ear, that the sound goes through the ear and goes to the brain, that there is a place in the brain that deciphers sounds and puts meaning to the sounds. And I found that fascinating because they showed us where this place was in the brain, and I find that when I get my information, it comes, it's like I can trace this like a line that goes through my head to that place where sound occurs. And I was wondering, the reason that I brought this up is I was wondering if you have experienced this, or is it just something that you hear? Like, I can actually follow the sound as it goes through my head.
I have to disagree with the people who say that telepathic communication goes through the ears.
They weren't saying that telepathic, just sound.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just sound goes through the ear, and it goes to this place in the brain that deciphers sound. And I connected that with what I was doing, that I could hear the message go through my head to that place in my brain where sound is separated into meaning. And I was wondering if you had noticed that.
I think what I noticed is very similar to what you're talking about, Carolyn. I have the sensation of lines too, almost like two parallel ticker tapes. Because there absolutely is sound as we can understand sound. I mean, for instance, if we are remembering a concert that we heard of music that just so moved us, we can hear that in our heads. So the messages that I receive telepathically seem to me to be the hearing is on a level that is higher than my own thoughts, because as I am hearing Matthew or any of my other sources speaking, when I am questioning something mentally but don't say anything, my thought seems to rise into a line below the line of sound that is what they are telling me. Does that make sense to you, Carolyn?
Yes, it does. And I think the reason that I was discussing this is so that people get an understanding that this is a process. You know, some people wonder, well, how do you get messages from someone? How do you know that they are accurate? And that is why I wanted to mention that. So, I mean, I believe that this is part of a process that that is something that people can do, and it's part of a gift for certain, but it is not something that is so unusual that it is normal to do this.
Indeed. The capacity for telepathic communication is actually an ingredient of the soul. Or an element of the soul. Everything is energy. Everything that we see as solid is energy vibrating at a much lower frequency than, say, thoughts, which we are not tangible. We can't really see them, and we can't pick them up and touch them. And since every one of us has that capacity for it, and we're all unique individuals, the messages coming in can be received in a variety of ways. For instance, the way Sean was sending you that message by having something fall off the shelf. He was absolutely letting you know, Mother, pay attention, I'm here. We can receive information through images. We can be driving along, and all of a sudden there's something that we see by the side of the road, or maybe a billboard, or something on the radio, and instantaneously there is the thought of, Matthew loved that music, or Sean would really enjoy this view. You know, what a perfect campsite. And those aren't accidents, that our attention is brought to those things. We're actually being nudged. And the idea is, look how close I am with you. We're never separate. You may not see me the way you're accustomed to, but that doesn't mean I'm not right here.
I have to chuckle at that, because what Sean said to me is, he has another brother and sisters, and he says, Mom, I'm closer to you than any of the other children.
Well, and he's right.
Yeah.
Something that I'm glad you mentioned that, Carol, because something that I have thought, next month is the day, on the 17th, will be the 28th anniversary of Matthew's transition, and you can imagine that in 28 years, my other three children have had a huge range of experiences, personal, health issues, financial, relationships, and I have to say that almost from day one, Matthew is my only child that I have never had any concerns about.
It
took him 14 years to get in touch with me, so it's not that he's saying, hey, I'm fine. But I know what's going on with my other children.
Mm-hmm.
And at least what I have learned is to feel compassionate, to be supportive. If they ask for advice, I give them the best advice I can come up with. I'm very grateful that they often say, please ask Matthew, because then I get it from a much higher source to pass on to them. But how can I, not help feeling some concern about you know, the decisions they make and where those are going to lead for them. I mean, we parents are like that. You know?
Well, that's true. Parents are like that. I'd like to draw your attention, if we can, to perhaps that first book that you put together with information from Matthew. Now, how long had you been, how should I say this, how long had it been since Matthew made you aware of his presence that you then started working on Tell Me About Heaven?
Okay. Matthew and I connected telepathically 14 years ago. A little more. It was actually at the very end of December in 1994. And one of the things that was that just so amazed me is that it wasn't just little snippets of information. I mean, from the very time that he said, "Mother, this is Matthew. Yes, it really is Matthew. Now write down what I'm saying." And he said, you know, it would be good to go to the computer. And right off the bat, we started spending an hour or more each day. And it was like a typing teacher standing at the head of the class and all of the students are typing exactly what the teacher is saying. A perfectly conversational pace, intonations just as natural as any of us. Sometimes emphasis that comes with showing me images of exclamation points or some parts bolded and what have you. I'll get to your question right now, though, Carolyn.
I'm patient.
I said, yes. Yes, thank you. Yes, now several times. He also introduced other souls to me. The souls whose messages appear, I mean, actually formal presentations that appear in the other three books. And so I was taking all of their messages down too. And every now and then Matthew would say, "Mother, please start the book." And frankly, I just ignored it. I asked him right from the beginning, "Why did you leave us at such a young age, Matthew?" And he would answer, but it was very evasive. I mean, it was never a reason. It was just some sort of fluff. But at any rate, it was about 6 months after I had been receiving. I mean, some days it was much more than an hour, but it was at least an hour every day. And since all of this was recorded at a conversational pace, you can imagine how much material I had. Okay, Matthew mentioned once again, but more forcibly, he said, you know, "Mother, you must start the book." So I said something akin to this. By then, I more clearly understood karma. I just can't tell you how ignorant I was of everything that's in the book. 35 years of Christian indoctrination really made everything I heard mind-boggling. I now understood that karma is neither reward nor punishment. It is experiences we choose to balance other lifetimes, to learn thoroughly what we choose to learn, but we didn't complete it in one lifetime. So at any rate, I said, "Matthew, do I have some karmic responsibility to do a book?" And he I don't recall exactly what he said. It's in one of the books, but I don't have it in front of me because it was recorded at the computer. But he said the larger thing is that this was my primary mission of this lifetime, to receive information from him and others and put it in a form for publication. And so it's, I was, that, frankly, to do that was an overwhelming job. I don't care if I did have journalistic background. In fact, that helped me understand what a huge, huge job it would be to go through about a 6 or 8 or 10 inch high stack of all those printouts and put it in some sort of logical order for a book. But Matthew said that, I mean, he finally answered my question, that he, his part of our family's pre-birth agreement was to leave when he did so that he could send me information. And I would get it out there and make it available to people who were receptive to it.
Well, Suzanne, what I learned from my son is that the two of us have done this many times, one on this side and the other on the other side, and I said, how come you chose to be the one on the other side this time? And he says, Mom, you can type a whole lot faster than me.
Oh, don't you love it? Sometimes they're so practical.
And it was the same with us, that this was a pre-birth arrangement. This is what we came to do. I think another reason, perhaps, I don't know if you'd agree with this, that there was this mother and son relationship, for me at least, is that I realized this was my son that I was working with, and so that set up this complete trust that perhaps I would not have had if it were wrapped around some other source.
Mm-hmm. You know, I never thought about that.
Well, I'm very questioning about everything. It's part of my nature. And the fact that I knew that this was Sean working with me, it was real easy to trust him.
Yeah. Oh, I don't mean I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I do. I was just admitting that it never occurred to me that if if my telepathic connection had opened with somebody else, that I could have doubted. And, you know, actually, this is something that is not in the books, but Hatan actually got through to me before Matthew did. He paved the way.
Who was this?
Hatan. Have you ever heard of Hatan?
Oh, okay. I wasn't hearing you. Okay.
Okay, I had read material about Hatan, and what I had read was before the person who was putting it out started distorting it so terribly. I'm not blaming her. She wasn't aware of it. But at any rate, I did know of Hatan, and I was sitting in the kitchen one evening feeling as if my life had no meaning, no direction, and no purpose. And I truly do see the beauties of Earth. It's not an overstatement to say that I love Earth. And so all of a sudden, I was wondering, you know, what can I do to help in any way? You know, besides financially support some of the groups that are working on behalf of various aspects of people, the environment, everything, benevolent organizations. So suddenly I felt as if a 2x4, or maybe it's better to say a semi-trailer truck, had run right through my body. I mean, the sensation was that powerful. And just instantly, I said, Hatan? And I don't mean that I was being imaginative. Hatan definitely put that thought in my head. And he said, yes, you say you want to serve, but you're not doing anything about it. Hatan is very forthright. And he said, you've been told what you need to do. Get on with it. Well, it's very hard to ignore something as dramatic as that. It gives you a jump start. And what he was referring to, that just I knew without being told, is that someone had suggested that I write a short letter to Matthew, and, you know, just sit down with pencil and pad and Matthew, dear, you know, I'm wondering where you are. I wish I knew. You know, that sort of thing. Things here are really slow. The dogs are feeling fine and that, you know, that sort of thing. And maybe spend 5 minutes doing it. And what I'd been told is that eventually I would receive thoughts in sort of a parallel line, which takes us back to what you and I were talking about, that I knew were not my own thoughts. And that would be the telepathic message coming in. Well, I did that, and I don't recall now whether it was on the third or the fourth day. And that's when I heard, Mother, this is Matthew. Yes, it's really Matthew. Write down what I'm saying. And from then on, well, you know the story. Carolyn, I think it's important to have people know that it's not only our children or our parents or our friends who are in the spirit world, or maybe God himself. If we are asking God, you know, please let me know something, God can answer us. I mean, directly. Or it can be a spirit guide who simply is aware. We may not know the name of that spirit guide or even understand that there are spirit guides, but they are the ones who have had Earth lifetimes recently. They can relate to what we're going through, that situations that are stumping us. They can be mechanical or electronic or, you know, something on a more practical basis. And all of a sudden, we get that sensation. Yeah, I'll try that. Maybe that'll work, and it does. Okay, there are so many avenues of help that come to us. Now, back to the telepathic connections. Especially at this time, during the tremendous changes going on with Earth's ascension out of third density and into fourth, and then she will go on up into fifth, the low entities are just as eager to reach us as the light entities. We do need to protect ourselves and to be able to verify that their sources are who they say they are. And Carolyn, this does come back to that trust that you thought of, and it had never occurred to me. But obviously, we trust sources who identify themselves. Now, at this point, sources who are low, that Matthew refers to as the dark entities. He's not the only one, but low or base or dark entities are as eager to inform us and get across, influence us in their directions, as the light beings are. Now, the Christed light has nothing to do with Jesus. It has nothing to do with religion. Christed is the realm closest to Creator. And there's a difference between God and Creator. I know I'm throwing a lot out here, but if you'll just bear with me. Creator, this is what I have been told. And again, my sources are not the only ones. And I do so welcome confirmation from other sources that they receive the same material. Creator is the supreme ruler of the cosmos. And when we hear about the Big Bang Theory or the supreme being, and many people do refer to that source, and source is probably the best way, because that is the source of all energy in the world. In the cosmos. What happened in what scientists sometimes refer to as the Big Bang Theory was Creator, its first expression of all that power, that energy. And that realm, that first expression, is known as the Christed realm, which is pure love, light, energy. Love and light are the identical energy. They're expressed in different ways. And the archangels came into being in that realm called the Christed realm. Now, in co-creating with Creator, the archangels created the next level of awareness. And in that level, the creations could take on form if they wished, or be in spirit only. The God of our universe, okay, that's where the gods and goddesses were formed, and the level of angels that are beneath the archangels. So, the God of, and Creator selected some of the gods and goddesses to go forth and co-create and then rule over the universes. Now, whether or not that is something that you can embrace really doesn't affect the need for protection. I just wanted to explain that, to show that the Christed light does not refer to Jesus or to anything in any religion. It is that protection at the highest level that when we ask for it, we receive it. And there are no special words. The feelings in our hearts speak equally clearly to God. Okay, that's the one thing. Ask for protection and trust that you have it. The next is check your sources. Now, I'm referring now to not just your sensations or images. I'm referring to the fact that many people are starting to receive messages, and in the same way that Carolyn and I do, we record these. excuse me, please. So check your sources. the easiest way for me to tell you, especially since we're running out of time, is...
No, we have another hour, dear.
We do.
we're going to cover this topic well.
We have 2 hours.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, Carolyn, I didn't know.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, that's fine.
We've got a lot of information to cover.
Okay. That's fine. If our dogs start barking, Bob will take care of them.
We'll just bark back.
No, they will bark because it's time for their walk.
Okay.
So I'm just certainly going to put out to them, no, it's going to be later today.
Okay.
at any rate, checking your sources, the procedure is explained on awakenedhearts.com. That is one of three sites that has information received by Celestial Blue Star and David of Arcturus. They are souls whom I know extremely well. We have cooperated on many, many informative ventures, from being guests on the same radio program to being panelists or hosts on teleconferences. The most recent is a book that is even now being printed that is a collection of extraordinary messages from a number of sources that we received throughout last year. I think you'll love the title. It's, And Then God Said, dot, 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 Then I Said, dot, 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 Then He Said, dot, dot, dot. God gave the title to that book. Just like I learned with the title of the fourth of the Matthew books that God had given me the title for all of them. I thought, gee, you know, I feel really good about this title I thought of.
You thought it was your idea, huh?
Oh, yeah. But it's sort of, God works in wondrous ways, you know. And I don't mean that our ideas are never our own. They are. But God had specific things in mind for these books, and I just didn't know it. But at any rate, back to checking the sources. And I think that's how that's listed on that site. It's really extremely valuable that you do this. It's not difficult. It's not something that should come across as, there's so much to learn type thing. You'll get it. You really will.
Well,
okay,
I do
enough about that. Carolyn, now where do you want to go?
Well, Spirit has its own agenda. I wanted to mention a little story to you about a book that I was working with, had it in my computer, and was dawdling on finishing it. And it was one of the books, Chaos Before Creation, and there are 12 masters there that are discussing different aspects of healing. Well, it had been in my computer for, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, and I hadn't completed it, but Sean did not come to me and tell me to complete it. I was asleep, wakened up in the middle of the night. It was the only time anything like this ever happened to me, Susie. Standing over my bed is an enormous archangel. It was Archangel Uriel. He is standing with a plate of burning coals in one hand, a book in the other, and behind him was this enormous cobra standing up on his tail. And I have to tell you, if somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night and you see this, it really gets your attention.
I would say so. Yeah, I was envisioning this as you were describing
yes.
it, and I just can't imagine how I would react.
Well,
how did you react?
I wanted to run out of my bed sideways, but I wasn't able to do it.
yeah, it sort of makes you immobile at the moment, doesn't it?
I was immobile, and he had a message, and he said that book, this was, when he came to me, I suspect it was like either October or November of that year, and he said he wanted it finished by December, that the world has need for it. And I'm just laying there beside myself. Eventually, the vision left, and you better believe that book was completed before the end of December.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they get our attention.
Oh, he got my attention.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it takes something as dramatic as that to move us along.
I do things on schedule now. I don't dawdle.
God told Celeste when we got started on that book, he not only told her this has to be wrapped up by December, meaning last December, and here are the titles of the chapters. Yeah, I mean, he was not leaving anything up to our imagination about these things. But other times, and it's not just you and me, Carolyn, and I hope that the listeners are recalling events in their lives or circumstances that also were profound, and they wondered, why that? Or, my Lord, what am I supposed to make out of that?
Well, communication between two sides of the veil is becoming more pronounced. More and more people are becoming attuned to it, and the veil is thinning. And this means that I believe there are more people who are willing to be a part of this, and so it's happening with many people. Let's take, during the second hour, Susie, let's take a little look at how you perceive what is on the horizon by way of what is happening to this big, beautiful earth by way of spiritual growth. Now, how do you and Matthew and the work that you're receiving perceive this?
Carolyn, I would say that today is a large peace march in Portland. Now, I know that on the 19th, there's going to be an immense rally for peace in Washington, D.C. I think I have that date correctly. I hope I do. At any rate, I know that today there is a big rally in Portland, which is just across the river, Portland, Oregon, across the river from us. And I would say that this is one of the indications of where people's consciousness is today, as opposed to the Vietnam War. Let's go back to the last principal conflict or principal war. I don't mean there aren't others. Civil wars that have raged for decades, and other international wars. But I'm speaking now of one that our country has been tremendously involved in. There were pacifists during the Vietnam War. There were incidents like Kent State, but by and large, the population of this country went along with it. I mean, looking back, of course, there's nothing like Monday morning quarterbacking to straighten things up. Really, almost from the beginning of this country's invasion of Iraq, there have been there has been outspoken opposition, and it has only grown during the 5 years that we have been in that country. And it has gotten to the point where it isn't just the pacifists by any means, or the people who have the wisdom to see that negotiation was never even given a chance. And it's not just that so much has come out about the deceptive means that were used to as justification for that invasion. It is now even the military who are speaking out as being opposed to the policies of our government. That, I think, is a good measuring stick of the consciousness raising that is going on. Not only the consciousness raising, but the conscience raising. And if you, I know that, you know, between the early 70s when finally the POWs were released and we ended our involvement in Vietnam, I mean, we're talking about, say, a little over 35 years. To somebody who is 17 years old, that's double his lifetime. And it even may seem a long time to us. I'm older than you, Carolyn, but it still seems as if 35 years is a long time to me. But if you overlay 35 years on just our recorded history, or even just the last century, you will see the tremendous progress in people's thinking. Not the ones who are still into warmongering and brutality and destruction of lives and property, but the larger population who want to live in peace. They want to be understanding of other people's perspectives. They want to negotiate rather than battle over differences of opinion. They want to help the people who are needy. Individuals are doing it. Small groups are doing it. National and international organizations are doing it. This attitude, this outlook, this sharing, this desire for peace in this world is growing. It has been growing exponentially to the point where we can see it everywhere we look. It's true. There are still headlines about conflicts within governments, within everything. You know, from families on up to the world at large. There are still conflicts, but there are also changes coming about. This is a time of enormous change within individuals, leading up to changes within our world. And the outlook that I have been given, really right from the very beginning, 14 years ago, is that we are on the move as individuals and as our world towards something that not only Matthew, but several other highly evolved sources speak of as the Golden Age. That others refer to it on a more practical basis as, say, the planetary cleansing or the shift. And in those expressions really refer to the transition from where Earth was to where she is heading. Her soul never left the higher frequencies, the higher levels of energy, but through really millennia, eons of the brutality and destructiveness that existed on this planet, which precedes recorded history by, well, I don't know how long. Let me say eons, which is sort of like millions and millions and millions and millions of years. Because there were so many other civilizations on this planet before our recorded history started. And some of them were so much more highly evolved than we are, spiritually, intellectually, and technologically, that we can't even imagine it. Excuse me, please. But at any rate, about 60 years ago, after the destructiveness to Earth in the bloodshed, the inhumanity of one human to another, groups of humans to another, after the destruction of her environment, the destruction of cities, Earth had given her light, because light is within each of us. It's what gives us viability. Earth had used her own light to support her life forms so long that she was literally in death throes. She had to make the decision of letting her planetary body die so that she could be released from that and just be back in, because her soul needed to be healed. So it also needed to be uplifted to fifth density, where there is no darkness. It's simply anything that dark, that is dark, which starts with dark thought forms. Those can't exist there. So she had to make the decision of whether to just let her planetary body die and go back, or ask for help so that she could survive, meaning that all of her life forms then also had the opportunity to survive. And so she called out for help. That was her free will to do that. Now, in honoring her free will, God allowed the civilizations, these highly advanced civilizations, to immediately respond. And what they did was pour their light into Earth in such profusion, well, that much was needed just to stabilize her orbit. Her condition, her physical condition, the physical condition of the planet was in such a disastrous condition that she was about to just fly out of orbit. And, of course, that's what would have caused the destruction of the planetary body. So the first thing that the, I hate to say the extraterrestrials or the ETs, because it rather separates them from us, and there really isn't separation. We are all members of the universal family, but just for brevity of speaking, to say ETs is simpler, so I will do that. So many, many civilizations of ETs infused Earth with their light to first stabilize her orbit. Since then, they have continued. They have never stopped. But they are doing many other things that have had healing effects on Earth's planetary body. And that same light has been available to all of Earth's population. Now, the people who are opening their hearts and minds without even knowing it, perhaps, that this is what they're doing, the light is causing or enabling the consciousness raising, the spiritual renewal, the innate awareness of who we are that is at soul level is now reaching consciousness level. That is what is enabling all of these changes that the peace marches I mentioned are resulting from. This. The focus on the goodness that we want in our world, the goodness that we want in ourselves, the kind of service that we want to offer to others who are needful of it. I'm not talking about proselytizing. I'm not talking about forcing ourselves on anyone. I'm talking about offering. This new spirit of wanting to contribute to make this world a better place is what is making it a better place. Now, in the continuum, which is beyond our understanding, we deal in linear time because we need that sort of structure to understand where we've been, where we are now, and plan for the future. But in the continuum, where there is no linear time, everything is a series of happenings, and the end result, not necessarily all of the steps are clear, but because there is free will all along the way. But the end result, the completed picture is there. And what we hear about 2012, its significance on the Mayan calendar as the end. It's the end of this third density thinking and living, third density experiencing, where darkness thrives. 2012 is the end of the last vestiges of that. And during this transitional phase, we will be seeing more and more evidence of the goodness in people, in government leaders, in everything from individuals to world cooperation. More and more of that will be in evidence. And another thing that I have heard, and again, not only from Matthew, is that linear time exists nowhere else in the universe other than here on Earth. As we are approaching closer and closer to fourth density, and some people are already there, excuse me, please, because this is individual souls I'm talking about. Earth is definitely on her way and on course. It's up to individuals to make the free will decisions that will enable them to go along with Earth.
Susan,
and I'll get back to that in a moment.
Yeah, let me just invite listeners to call in, because we have, you know, maybe about a little more than a half an hour. I want to cover the changes, whether we're talking about weather, Earth changes. So we have a lot of ascension procedures. We have a lot to talk about, but I also want to get some people's questions on this and invite them to call in. Our toll-free number here in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. We'd like to address now your personal questions that have to do with the new changes that are coming, the way the Earth is fulfilling, as I see it, this gargantuan jump in spirituality. As Suzanne says, some of the words, the golden age, the new earth. So now is the time. Call in with your question, and we'll answer you with the information that Matthew has passed along to his mother in their books and what the masters have given to me on the different topics. Let's focus our attention, if you might, Suzanne, because this is something that people are becoming very aware of. Some of the changes in the weather, we've noticed weather patterns are very different. We've got the melting of the solar ice caps, changes in the temperature of different ocean streams, perhaps some of the tornadoes that we've seen this particular year. In particular, we've seen a lot of devastation with tornadoes. And so give me, if you would, a little bit of your perspective on some of the weather changes.
Yes, I will be happy to do that. 2 points, and I will be briefer, Carolyn, than I have been in wanting to give the huge picture. The Earth is returning to the moderate climate globally that once existed here. When what we consider the Garden of Eden, where everything flourished, really the Garden of Eden was the entire paradise on Earth. And Earth is returning to that. So the changes in climates are part of that transitional process to reach a moderate or temperate climate pretty much globally, so that there will not be any longer the polarities between the temperatures and conditions at the poles and that around the equator. The other thing is a lot of what is going on really is man-made weather. The dark minds that are manipulating the weather are not doing it for beneficial purposes. I think proof of that is that there are droughts in places where the people are suffering. There are floods in other places where the people are suffering. If the ones who are manipulating the weather wanted to benefit Earth,
they would not be doing what they're doing. Nevertheless, all of it is feeding into this transitional process. So Earth is really processing those events and using them to her assistance.
Suzanne, we have a question. Let's take this,
yes,
if we might.
Indeed.
Caller, your name, please.
My name's Josephine Looper. And
I was calling in to ask,
none of this chaotic weather, you know, realizing, of course, that a lot of it right now is being manufactured, with the awakening consciousness of humanity, can't this indeed be altered also and not be as chaotic as it would otherwise be?
Carolyn, would you like me to answer that?
Well, I think we both have a perspective on it. The question, just to make sure that you heard it, as I understand it, is that we have some chaotic weather. Can it be altered in some way? So what's your opinion on that, Susie?
What I have heard from Matthew, and again my other sources, is that yes, indeed, thoughts are powerful. Thoughts and feelings, they carry energy. When prayers are the same things. So when people are praying for a relief from the to lessen the impact of storms, of tornadoes, of all geophysical events, yes, definitely those have an effect, because the light in individual thoughts is powerful, and collectively, of course, we're being joined by the benevolent and ETs too. But yes, absolutely, we can have tremendous effects on everything that is going on in our world.
I would like to add something to that. I agree with what you're saying, Susie, but would also like to add something. Thursday, we had the group that I work with had a conference call with Master Kasumi. Master Kasumi came and we interviewed him and had quite a few questions asked of him. And one of the questions was, there is an individual who is being prompted to gather food. In other words, accumulate food in her house more than what she needs. And her question was, are we going to have a problem with food sources? Now, I think that was a very good question, especially considering cost of transportation, inflation, and some problems that people have. And what Master Kasumi said was, we do not have to worry about food sources that will be provided for. However, in her case, her soul was prompting her to accumulate food, not so much for herself, but for those people that she knew who were going to be in need. So I think this was a very important question and a very important answer. If there are people out there who are feeling anxious about food supply, we're going to have food. We will be taken care of. But if you have the urge, your soul is prompting you to collect food, it might be for those in your area who are going to be needy. There's people who are out of work. People, you know, we have the housing crisis, we have people with medical problems, and I just wanted to pass that along in case there are people who have this need or this urge. Explore it with your higher self, because you might be one who is being prompted to help your neighbors in need. Now, was there another aspect of this question that you wanted to ask, caller?
Yes, there was. I would also like the two of you to comment on the fact that, well, your perception of it, that how the emotions and fear, the emotions affect the weather and affect the energies in general, And so if we can stay in a happy, joyful place, then it also will affect and have an effect on the upcoming time.
Well, I think this is a very important question. Suzanne, give your thoughts on that, and then I'll give my perspective.
Okay. I agree with you that that is an important question. It is really one of the most critical things that we are facing right here on a very practical level, because this is where we are dealing with day-to-day things. Fear is such a powerful weapon against us. It's a terrible, uncomfortable feeling to begin with. But what it is a magnified energy. And through the law of attraction, people who are fearing something draw something fearful to them. And it just perpetuates circumstances that on this level, this mundane level of everyday-to-day living, it compounds their situations. Fear does. The caller, I'm sorry, I couldn't understand your, I could hardly hear your question,
well,
and that's why I'm glad that...
No, you really got the answer, Suzanne. I would agree with that. What the caller is bringing to our attention, and the question is fear that people have, what basis does it have on change? And you're pretty much answering what I would have answered, except, there's one other little thing that I would discuss with this. Fear comes, it has been my perspective in the work that I've done, is that fear comes from several different places. Fear comes from our current world conditions, meaning the controllers of society or politics put into place certain propaganda messages, certain regulations that is causing fear in our lives on a general level. But there are some other fears that come forth that is coming up from within us that we need to clear. I have my own experiences in working with others and with myself that some of these fears is stuck energy from past lifetimes that has been stuck in the energy body, in the subtle bodies that surrounds the physical. And this needs to be cleared also. Some of the work that we're doing on the Wednesday show, Cosmic Connections, for instance, Charlene and I are working with clearing fear from the DNA, which is your own personal DNA that you've inherited, and also what you've inherited from the family lines. So that fear is extremely important to clear fear on all of these different levels, and it can be programmed to clear that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but I've got a little bit more.
Okay.
In addition to the fear thing and being aware and clearing it, isn't it also very important to stay very much in the moment of now and very conscious of what's going on around you, what you're doing, what your family's doing, so that you can find joy and happiness in the small things, because this also affects and alters the emotions and the energies that are going out.
I couldn't agree with you more. All of the information that I have received from the Masters is the state of joy is exceedingly important, and it is one of the great emotions that comes to us from the higher levels. The more that we are attuned to joy, it is like Suzanne was saying earlier about consciousness. If we can change our perceptions
to being joyous, we can change our own consciousness and what we're attracting to ourselves. Sometimes it's kind of hard doing this for family members, but if we remain in a joyous state, it might be catching for them too. So what do you think of that, Suzanne? I would add one other thing to joy, though, and gratitude. Joy and gratitude seems to be the two things that spiral together that we need to be working with. Suzanne, do you have some thoughts on that?
I was going to mention gratitude. I'm glad you did, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the light of feeling grateful for the blessings in our lives lifts the heart and relieves fearful feelings about what if. I think what you were mentioning before about the fear that has been carried forth from other lifetime experiencing. I think it's, and I'm not arguing about that, but I think it's difficult to discern, to separate the fear in our minds, such as, well, this is a fear from a past lifetime and I don't need it anymore. And, okay, this is a very realistic fear about my current circumstances. So just, we need to get rid of fear across the board and focusing on the blessings in our lives. And there are many. There are many. And this is something I had to learn to do. So I'm sort of speaking from a personal experience here. To get myself out of a place where fear had so captivated me that I was paralyzed. And I just had to move out of that to allow an upliftment of everything going on in my life. And I really don't know how I did that. I think I must have asked for help because I know I didn't do it alone. I had help. So I'm sure that that's probably what came about. And I learned to see the blessings of my life instead of living in the fear of what the circumstances would lead to. You know, I kept creating more and more circumstances that definitely caused tremendous anxiety. So joy of the moment, whether it's just joy because of something we have heard that has happened to somebody we may not even know, but it was a joyful happening. And to see, if we have to look for the blessings at first, fine. To see the beauty of Earth, the natural beauty of Earth, and how springtime rejuvenates what during the winter was latent. This is all part of helping ourselves. And when we have that kind of energy radiates out and touches the lives of all the people close to us. What Matthew has said about a smile is that it has incalculable ripple effects. I'm in total agreement with, I missed the caller's name. I did hear what she said, but I think all of us are in agreement on this, and I hope that we have been able to sound convincing to...
Suzanne, let's ask the caller if she has another question, since we're all in agreement. Caller, did you have another question?
Actually, you're doing a wonderful job because the next place I was going was the attitude of gratitude and how we can find the small steps, the birds that sing, mm-hmm. looking out at the beautiful blue sky. and how all this, you know, does affect our environment. The only other thing that I can really think to comment on is how important it is, and I would like your perception on this, of really staying in the moment and not going into the past or memories, but to stay very solidly in the moment of now, the moment that's happening at this second.
Well, I'll turn that one over to Suzanne, but one thing I'd like to say before we do is this concept of gratitude and love, when you work with those two, it is the way that, especially in meditation, it is the way that we reach the higher mind. That is the gateway to the monad, and if you sit down and work with that emotion in a meditative state, it is amazing the information that you'll retrieve. So, Suzanne, your I'm sorry, caller. What did you ask? I got off track. Now,
living in the moment.
In the moment. Okay. Suzanne, you want to mention your perspective on in the moment?
Yes. We need to dump the emotional garbage of all the past, and we need not to think, oh, but what if? Because what if may never come to pass. Of course, they will if we focus on them in fear. We're going to create them. But living in the moment doesn't mean, to me, it doesn't mean living in a box where there is no thought about what may be coming. It's to feel joyous in the moment, to feel gratitude for what we know in this moment we have, and to visualize the people that we care about being healthy and happy, being their spirits being renewed, if that's what is needed for them, and feeling blessed. We really have only this moment at hand. Let's not ruin it by dragging along memories that are painful. It's move out of it. It's what's called forgiveness. So, Carolyn, do you want to pick this up? I just looked at the time, and I'm afraid that I have spoken. I've monopolized too many of the minutes.
That's fine. We have like maybe 15 more minutes, and I think that the questions that the caller has is very appropriate. It is the way we are going to move this planet to that bliss that we are searching for, knowing that our thoughts create and manifest. And where we place our thoughts is what we are going to create and manifest. And I feel like all the questions that you have brought forth for us to expound upon is the very essence of what we are talking about, that we've come to a great pivotal point in Earth history. And what are we going to do about it? Well, we're going to do all the things that you are suggesting, caller, to stay in the moment, to work with love, to work with gratitude, to focus on all those things that we wish to manifest. And so I say to that, amen.
Amen. And I'd like to say thank you, Susie, and thank you, Carolyn. And now I'll bow out and allow somebody else
and
to
maybe,
step
right,
in.
We can get another caller in. So thank you so much. We appreciate your input. We really do.
Oh, absolutely.
And thank
you. We couldn't have hired a better person, you know.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So for someone else out there, we can probably take one more caller. The number here that's toll-free, get your dialing finger ready, 877-876-5227. So we've talked about weather. We've talked about the ETs bringing great light into the planet.
We've talked about some of the methods that we can use to help bring us through these changes in a more orderly, balanced way. What has Matthew said, if anything, about the HEART program, Susie?
Well, obviously the low frequency waves that are being emitted by that are intended to be harmful to our bodies and our brains. One avenue of great assistance that we are receiving from our space family members who have such advanced technology that they can do this is they are ameliorating some of those effects to the extent that they can. If I may mention some other things that they are doing, because we did touch upon weather, they also are using the technology to level out the effects of earthquakes and volcanic eruptions and they're steering these wherever possible to minimize the death toll and destruction. They are also neutralizing to the greatest extent possible the health damaging effects of the elements that are in what we call chemtrails that are raining down and speaking of rain, acid rain, the same, all kinds of pollution. So in addition to the light that they are infusing Earth with and is available for all of us too, they are doing these very practical things to assist us. And something that going back to live in the moment, somebody said, "Susie, how can I get out of the bad place where I am?" And what came to me instantly, because Matthew said so, is change your thought. So when there is a thought that is filled with fear about, oh, but what if, change your thought to something that is positive. Okay?
Well, certainly. Absolutely. And I think, but you know, sometimes it's difficult for people to actually do that, and I would say some things that help is laughter. Find joy in the things that you're doing. You know, have a good belly laugh over something. That really helps. Music. Music, and I mean soothing kind of music, not something that's going to jar your consciousness. I also think getting outside in beautiful places in nature. When you're outside, maybe in a park where there are beautiful trees and there's clouds and it's a sunny day and the grass is green, and you watch nature, whether it's little creatures or the clouds. It's very hard to watch these things and be in a depressed state. It's a natural high, I do believe. So,
oh, I agree with you, Carolyn. From experience and from what I've been told,
mm-hmm.
I'll bet everybody can relate to how their spirits are lifted by those things that you talked about, by contact with animals.
And little babies, you know. If you go to the grocery store and you watch a little baby being pushed in a stroller, they have such joy. And, you know, you see their little hands, how they react. I mean, how can anybody be depressed when you see a little baby and you really enjoy what they're doing? So, you know, look for those kinds of things. I think it helps if a person is depressed, it gets them out of depression. It has them soaring towards joyous thoughts. And I think how you change those thoughts, too, is to think of the times in your life. Like if you can't get out into nature for whatever reason, you're feeling down for some reason, think of moments in your life when there was great joy. We've all had some moment in our life when we've had great joy. Dwell on that. I think it's not a case of eliminating a negative thought, because it's hard to eliminate a negative thought. I think you need to replace it with a joyous thought. So we have another caller, and your name, please.
Oh, hi, everyone.
Oh, hi, Don.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. You know, I got so much out of this program. You know, it saddens me that I haven't had the opportunity to listen as often as I usually, well, as the opportunity presented itself in the past, but I mean, fabulous show. Fabulous show. You know, I you know what I enjoy? Bringing light where there wasn't any to begin with, or where there isn't any. Bringing a smile and a wink where everybody's crying. You know, it's that little presence that we all carry that we can magnify, and we can show ourselves how large it is by the effect it will have when we spread it. And it's really an attitude thing. That's the greatest perception driven mechanism, and that's the attitude. So I just love listening to you ladies, and I really appreciate it. But I do have a question.
Well, before we get to your question, if I might just say very quickly, Don, my experience with you has been just exactly what you are talking about, this attitude that you have of love for everyone is so remarkable, and it really does show in everything that you do.
Well, it's not even remarkable. In fact, it's less remarkable than trying to be any other way. It's like the perfection should be easy because it's not the end result. It's a matter of just following that inner guidance. It's really that simple, because as long as you're following it, you know you're doing the next right thing. You have no guilt, no worries. The fears, eventually you come to grips with those and release them. Yeah, it's the easiest way.
But I wish to honor you for that, because even though you say those things, it's and for you it is so wonderfully easy. For many people it is not. And so you've perfected that, and I'm throwing you a little biscuit, dear.
Oh, thank you. You know, even for those who believe it's not, it really is. They'll get there. It's just a matter of allowing and releasing to the point that they've forgiven and they find the compassion for the things that to be of service to themselves, to others. You know, here's my question.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm drooling.
Before you ask your question,
yes.
I want to thank you, Don, with all my heart, for providing Carolyn and me and all the others with this forum for sharing the kinds of information that we do.
I thank you for being a part of this. You know, there's no greater reward than bringing beautiful people together to create awareness, because really, it's about that soul net, that coming together, that integrity, the integralness of each of us. That we're integral to each of us. We're one and the same. And it's, you know, the hosts, I love the hosts. I love the effect that it has, the people that we're reaching, the letters I get, the emails, the people from jail that call in.
Wow.
I mean, I'll tell you, it's profound, and I am truly grateful. So, I mean, I don't need any accolades. The accolades I get are just astounding, just by virtue of me being able to be here and be a part of it all.
You know what you're really saying, Donald, is what we're able to offer people. The word came to me is hope. Hope in a world sometimes that is confusing for some. And to be able to have that opportunity, like Susie said, to be able to talk, to bring forth that hope to those people who are looking for hope is a beautiful thing.
and your question, dear.
Thank you, and I so agree. Hope is paramount to faith, I think. It's an integral part of infinity. Mm-hmm. It always is. It's just that I've been seeing something lately, and it's profound, and it's continuous. It's incessant, really. It's the number 949. And, in fact, it's been so profoundly disturbing that I started to tell the coworkers, and Seth is picking it up like I am. And we can't, you know, even the other day we were coming downstairs laughing, and I walked down, and boom, look at the clock, 949. Then, it's such a powerfully insistent synchronicity. It's not, you know, the only reason I'm giving it such emphasis is because it deserves it. I mean, if I'm seeing the number 111 every day, which I do constantly, that just slides right off me. But 949 is something, and I don't quite understand it yet, but it is incessant, or insistent, let's say.
Susie, do you want to comment on that?
I defer to you. Just the other day, Bob asked me something, and I said, I don't know a thing about numerology. And he said, ask Matthew. And I said, Matthew doesn't either. And Matthew said, Mother, that's not fair. But we've never gone into it, so I defer to you.
Well, when you were discussing that, I just asked the cherubim what it was. And what they're saying is that those numbers represent the new wave of energy that's coming into the planet. Now, doesn't it make sense?
Well, I'll tell you, it does. It's very insistent. I mean, I would have to say this is a synchronicity that's taken itself out of the synchronistic stage and into the in-your-face, I'm here always, and you need to know this profoundly. Now, I get a feeling, the only thing that 949 rings with me is, well, it's the area code to Dr. Bell, his phone number. And the only thing that's the only thing that I know of that it would, 949, other than the number 949, why it would, I just don't know. I mean, could it mean something's going to affect
I don't know
that either. Honestly, I didn't feel that.
What they're saying is that geometry, whether you consider it sacred or otherwise, has a direct correlation to numbers.
Interesting.
Well, just think about it.
Yeah, no.
And so what they're saying is that this has a direct result to numbers, and it is the number or the geometric shape, if you wish to call it sacred, of the new wave of energy that's coming to the planet.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, whatever it is, and I hope you're right, because it feels interesting.
And the other thing that they are saying about that is that you are being bombarded with these numbers because it is what you are.
Oh, wow. I love you for that. Thank you. You know, you have a way of propping my ego up to the moon. I mean, I'm so... I love you for it. I thank you.
Well, sweetheart, I'm not trying to prop your ego.
But it feels... I mean, it just gives me such a great feeling. Ego or no, who cares?
Well, I don't know if you have any other questions, but our boss says we have to be off the air now.
You know, thank you. It has been incessant. I'll give it that. And Seth will give you more on that because it's really been incessant. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Well, I could do more of a reading on that, but for what we can do on the Internet right now, I think that was a rather interesting take on it.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love you, lady, so much. I wish I had time to spend forever with you. I have that time, I guess, coming up.
Yeah, you got a week. Well, Suzanne, we'd like to thank you, dear. It was a treasure. And we're glad that you were able to attend. And you also, Don.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here today, to spend 2 hours with you. I would just like to say one quick thing, going back to hope, because hope is so essential. There is such a huge amount of light in hope.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if listeners will go to my site, which is MatthewBooks.com, two T's, Matthew, plural, books, and read the message that's posted in Matthew's Messages, the one that's posted for last December. It's an essay on 2012. And reading that will let you know what is going on now and what we can expect in the golden age. And I would say that it is so filled with hope that your heart will leap with joy.
Well, darling, we're up to the hour. We have to leave. We thank you, and maybe we can do this again if you're willing.
Oh, I'd love to, Carolyn.
Goodbye to you, dear.
Goodbye, and love and peace to all from Matthew and me.
And as for myself, my website's www.carolynevers.com. There is a lot of information there also. So, again, goodbye. Blessings to all.
Goodbye.